Steve Forbert there. Good planets are hard to find. And Harry was muttering under his breath, good foresters are hard to find.
I didn't know you'd heard that.
Yeah, I did. I got a little story here. About 25, 30 years ago, Harry said to me, Scott, you got to go down to Aiken County and meet Mark Jacobs. He's doing amazing things with the hardwood forests of Aiken County. And so Harry and I went down and we met Mark. And do you remember that, Harry?
I do.
We went to, I believe it was a mixed hardwood forest in northeastern Aiken County.
Cornish Township, I believe.
You remember that?
Wow.
You remember that too?
Oh,
really?
Yeah. You ask Mark just how many times I took my students down there, how many years. So it
trampled
was like
all
an
the new
annual
growth.
Event.
Well, since those days, Mark was the county forester, and he wasn't even the land commissioner. He's moved up to land commissioner, and he recently retired from that job, so we were able to get him up.
Get him at home, yeah.
Mark Jacobs, welcome. Welcome back, I should say.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark. Hey, John Latimer, nice to hear you. Congratulations on a life well served. Yeah, thank you for all you've done.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. It's been a good ride for almost 39 years. You know, I was able to do a lot of interesting things because I had a good staff and I had support of the county board and I had a network of partners like you guys to help me out with some stuff.
Yeah. You know, Mark, I'm trying to remember just how many years. It must have been about 20 years that I took my students down to visit with you and get quite a treat as far as looking at what kind of management you were doing. Was it about 20 years?
Yeah, I think it was actually over 20 years. And ICC is still doing it to this day.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So, Mark, how did you get? Launch your special interest in forestry? And also, you mentioned all the support you had from staff and the county commissioners to be an innovative forester down there. How did it all begin?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've always been interested in the outdoors and things, and I went to Vermilion Community College and got a natural resource degree, and out of school and unemployed or underemployed, and my dad pointed out this ad in the paper that Aiken County had a forestry job open, and I applied for it. I didn't even know that Aiken County had a forestry program. Got the job and started out as a field forester, and then after about 10 years, assistant land commissioner for 15 years, and then 13 years as land commissioner.
That's astonishing, Mark, and I'd have to say time well spent. Talk a little bit about, I don't know, your coming awareness of the hardwoods of the county, and then your efforts and what you did to kind of promote that area. It's not an area that most industrial foresters, most county foresters in this part of the state really focus on.
Well, about a third or maybe 40% of our upland forests in Aiken County managed by Aiken County is in upland hardwoods like sugar maple, basswood, red oak. So it's like we had this big resource out there and it wasn't really being managed very much. So we were trying to do some things, and my former boss, Roger Howard, sent Forester Bob Kangas and I to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to the Ford Forestry Station, Michigan Tech, to learn more about hardwood management. And we were kind of out of our element there because of the really nice sugar maple they had, but we got a lot of ideas on what we could do, and we came back all excited, tried applying some things, and obviously the logging infrastructure wasn't there to purchase it. But one day I got a call from Jack Riola, and he said, I'd like to go out and take a look at some of these stands. And he went out and looked at them. He said, you know, you can't sell these, but I'll buy them for you, and we'll cut them so we can get a program going on promoting hardwood. So that kind of kicked it off.
What ideas did you learn that you wanted to implement about hardwood forest management?
Well, just, you know, things like crop tree release. You know, instead of a regimented uniform thinning, you pick the nicest trees out in the forest and try to release the crowns of those to get those going, because that's where your quality is going to be. And, you know, another part of it was being introduced to the new forestry from Jerry Franklin out in the Pacific Northwest, where the kind of the birth of ecologically based forestry, where, you know, you do some things to keep it more natural and so it's more balanced. So, you know, a lot of things like that, just to do a better job and look at more of a broad focus on the forest rather than just cords and boards.
And, you know, this is Harry again, and I still remember so much about how you were into not just doing it on the ground, but also promoting it in the forestry community with young students. And, I mean, you even brought Jerry Franklin all the way over here from the Pacific Northwest to talk to people at different times. And it was, you know, of course, and then always willing to take my students out and introduce them to these new topics. It just, and one final thing that still sticks in my mind is that, you know, near the end of my career, because it was kind of ended a little bit by aided by a disability I acquired. But the other thing is just I went down there to Aiken and you got a meeting about bats and bats and forestry and really introduced the community to that. And, you know, it just amazed me, Mark, what the breadth of topics you seem to encompass. And maybe you want to talk a little bit about those things.
Well, I think one of the big things in my career was going to the Blandon Community Leadership Program. I really got a lot out of it. Basically, you know, it breaks it down and says, here are your strengths. So you understand your strengths. And then you understand maybe where your weaknesses are, and then you learn to recognize strengths in other people so you can surround yourself with some good people to do some things. And the other part of it was our FSC certification, which was kind of a landmark event in 1997, you know, among the first public lands in the nation to get this environmental certification. And, you know, people can talk about, you know, the nuts and bolts of it. But one of the things it did for Aiken County is it made our world bigger. We had a network of people all over the United States and Canada that knew about us, that we communicated with, that were on audits, came from other places to do audits on our forest. So you start to build this network of people, and you start to hear about things. And the Northern Long-Eared Bat was one of them. Out east, they were having big problems, and they said, this is coming your way. You know, so we started thinking, you know, we better be prepared for it and find out, you know, that this is a disease issue. It's not a habitat issue, but it was kind of being treated as a habitat issue. So we really tried to gather information and show, you know, that we do have great habitat out here. And fortunately, I ran into some bat researchers, and they said they were interested in doing some sampling on county land. So I brought them out overnight up in Cornish Hardwood area. And it was incredible. I think we got 53 bats in two nights. It was quite an experience. They were flying all over the place. So it kind of showed that we do have really good habitat. The unfortunate thing is since that time, we've sampled it four different times since 2014. And we went from 53 in one night in 2014. Last summer, we did it same place, same time. We got one bat.
Oh, wow.
That disease has been pretty devastating.
Wow. Because of the white nose, you think? Or?
Yeah, it's pretty much white nose. All the species that are susceptible to white nose, we didn't catch any of the little brown bat or the northern long-eared bat.
We're speaking with newly retired Aiken County Land Commissioner Mark Jacobs, who has worked with Harry for many, many years, decades, we can say, to help Harry teach his students about forest ecology and forest management. You guys use a term called release. Mark, you used it. What do you mean by when you say you're going to release a tree or release a stand? Harry?
Well,
go ahead, Mark. Yeah.
The trees are packed in and very dense. So if you give them more growing space, they'll grow faster. Their crowns will expand. They'll increase their photosynthesis and they'll grow faster. So if you can identify the nicest, straightest trees in the stand and give them more growing space, then that increases the value of your forest.
Well, I know Mark was lucky enough to have one of the largest, if not the largest for a while, yellow birches and yellow birch down there. And so he might want to talk about, I don't know what they did, but they tried to release the younger yellow birch under the bigger ones and try and get the younger ones growing and being part of that population.
Yeah, as part of what we've been doing up in Cornish and other areas of the county, we're doing a little more group selection harvest now, where we're making like half-acre openings in those forests to try to get more diverse regeneration. Because one of the things we did find out in the Upper Peninsula is that they've done so much single-tree selection that they've created a monoculture of sugar maple, and they're really having a hard time regenerating, you know, anything. So what we found is in those group selection cuts is we're getting red oak, paper birch, yellow birch, basswood, sugar maple. All these species are still there and growing kind of in small groups throughout the forest. So I think that's something that we started on, oh, probably a decade or so ago, and it's been very successful.
Mark, can you tell me how far did people come to see the kind of work you were doing with oak and with the hardwoods and all that kind of stuff, come to that Cornish Township? Wasn't it a pretty great distance that people would fly in to see what you were doing?
We had a couple of forest managers from India come over. and they weren't here specifically for that purpose. They were here visiting the university, going on a tour of the U.S., and when they came to Minnesota, the university people said, let's run up to Aiken County. They're FSC certified. Let's look at some things up there. That was pretty interesting. Germany, Sweden, you know, it's been kind of a cool experience.
Mark, explain again what FSC certified means.
The Forest Stewardship Council is an international organization that that sets standards for responsible forest management. And so basically, if they certify you, they're saying that you're responsibly managing your forest. They do a report every year. You're annually audited, and you know, to keep that certification. So it's really a way to express to, in our case, our constituents or the people of Minnesota around the United States, that we are meeting these very lofty standards for forest management. And since we were certified in 1997, our 200 and some thousand acres, I think in the Lake States now there are probably 7 or 8 million or more acres certified, maybe 10 million.
Mark, one last thought I had is I would like you to, if you could give us one or give the foresters out there one or two or three things that you would recommend they put in their hat and take with them as a hearing from your 39 plus years of advice.
Well, one of the things that gets really overlooked, and we were very fortunate in Aiken County to be in a situation, is to do good forest management, you have to have a good logging cohort in your area. And I think the Minnesota Logger Education Program has done that. It's been quite, that's one of the biggest changes over my career is the quality and the professionalism of the loggers. And we have a tremendous logging group out there that are very professional and very conscientious.
Yeah.
And markets for those that would to do that work. And we've been fortunate that, you know, we can't do some of our hardwood work if Sappy didn't have a market for maple pulpwood, if Savannah Pallets couldn't take the smaller, lower quality logs, and Hawkins Sawmill take, the higher grade logs, and Blandon take, spruce and fir, and so we're fortunate to be in a central area where we had access to markets. So we had good loggers, we had good markets. It really gave us the ability to do some good forestry, I think.
Retiring Aiken County Land Commissioner Mark Jacobs joining us this morning to talk about his innovative work in the hardwood forests in northern Minnesota. Mark, thanks for joining us again. We hope to talk to you more.
Yeah, I'd just like to do a quick plug if possible. This Sunday at Colaco Brewing in Grand Rapids, Kevin Shepard from American Bird Conservancy and Sawyer Scherer from Blandon, along with Colaco Brewing, are doing a field tour on the golden wing warbler. And I'm going to do a little presentation and go out on a field trip on some land and lands in the Feely Township, I believe, Feely Area Forest. So that should be a fun trip. That's put on by the Forest Steward Guild, who I'm a member of. And we're going to try to do some of these forest-friendly brewery tours around the region, to try to promote forestry, and which means clean water for the brewery. So it's kind of a nice connection there.
Yeah, good.
I'm there.
Mark, October 7th.
That's this, is that Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday. Sunday. All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye. Mark Jacobs, retiring Aiken County Land Commissioner, joining us this morning on Northern Community Radio. And, you know, Harry, it's interesting that we have a forest manager from a very remote and sparsely populated county in northern Minnesota, one of the leading foresters in North America. It's interesting to me that Jack Riala, the late Jack Riala, who for so many years was one of the few people promoting hardwoods, because his mills were interested in hardwood, and Jack recognized it right away, too.
Yeah.
So it's pretty special what Mark has done, not only in northern Minnesota, but for the rest of the forestry community.
Yeah, now that Mark is retired, I'm anxious to see what comes next in his life. It should be exciting for him and for all of us.